Today's scripture is from 2 Corinthians 5, 11 through 6, 2. It's found on page 1648 in the Pew Bibles. Listen to God's word. Since then, we know what is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We impel you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made him who would have no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, I hear you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Faye. Just a little introduction. Many of you probably know this already, but I'm not going to make any assumptions. The author of 2 Corinthians is Paul, but his name used to be Saul. Saul was a highly educated Roman citizen, and he had been working with the Jewish leaders to wipe out the way, or the Jesus followers. Sadly, Saul believed that those who followed Jesus were heretics following a false prophet, or a false Messiah. And these followers, he believed, deserved to be thrown in prison or even killed. Now, when Saul was on his way to Damascus, he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. The encounter led to his conversion and to his name change, Paul. If you want to read more, you can look at Acts 9 for the full story. Now Paul has been planting churches and leading people to Christ. Elizabeth Johnson states, Paul learned in a dramatic way how completely wrong human judgment can be. In what seemed to be foolishness, God's Messiah suffering a humiliating death, God was at work to reconcile the world to himself and make all things new. Let's look now at what's happening in our passage. Paul is addressing the church in Corinth because their relationship has become broken. The church in Corinth, the one that Paul himself planted, the church that he dearly loves, well, now there are false apostles that have been going into the church saying that Paul is not a true apostle of Jesus. Just look at the way he persecuted and hated Jesus' followers in the past, they said. The Corinth church began to think that Paul was a heretic. So Paul, in the beginning of our scripture, is writing here in his defense, saying, "We know what it is to fear the Lord." The church seems to be claiming that Paul is insane or out of his mind in verse 13. Paul doesn't deny it. He says, "I am out of my mind for God." And Paul claims that Christ's love compels us because of the death of Jesus Christ, who only had to die one time to save us all. Paul says that we should not regard anyone from a worldly point of view, though we regarded Christ in this way, we no longer do so. In these verses, Paul is saying that before his conversion, before he truly understood and believed Jesus Christ to be his Messiah, the Savior, Paul believed that the Messiah was supposed to come and free Israel from Rome. So when this didn't happen, him and other Jewish people said, "Jesus can't be the Messiah. Jesus, the Son of God, did not line up with their interpretation of the Old Testament." Paul is now defending himself against the church. The church he planted, the church he loves. And the Corinth church is being persuaded by others to view Paul as his old self instead of his new man in Christ. We have broken relationships today. Sin continues to run havoc in our world. And people are alienated from each other all the time. One moment we like someone, the next moment we can't stand them. I'm sure you can think of some relationship within your family that is strained or broken. What about in your community? What about in your church? Our world is full of what one commentator says, casual alienation. From a human perspective, we could say, well, that's just the way life goes. Relationships just flit from one to the other without much consideration for the person or the relationship itself. But God does not consider relationships in this way. Remember when Paul said, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." If I asked you to look at your neighbor, possibly not your spouse, but if you have to, you have to, but look at your neighbor or someone around you, just think, you don't have to say anything, how would you describe them? Just in a couple words. Maybe you'd say, "Oh, he or she, they're a nice person. They're friendly. They dress nice." But would any of us have thought right away, "He's a child of God. She's made in the image of God." Society has put so much emphasis on the externals that we've forgotten about the heart. When I had kids at home as a young mom, I really tried hard to get that across to my kids when they were growing up, and I would often quote 1 Samuel 16:7 to them. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. But as much as I quoted it to him, I still needed the reminders myself. God looks at the heart. God sees each of us as his image bearers, and he wants us to see them, wants us to see them that way. When Pastor Rick and I ministered to the men inside the prison, we were really conscious of this. We had to go into that prison accepting the men as children of God, not as a felon, not as a criminal. Now, I'm not saying that we were saying they were innocent of any crime, but we needed to go in and treat them with respect and dignity. As God's adopted children, we view people as image bearers for whom Christ died. Let me say that again. As God's adopted children, we need to view people as image bearers for whom Christ died, not by their color, social status, sexual orientation, gender identity. Doug Bratt says, since Christ died for all, Christians see people not primarily as rich or poor, as single, partnered, or married, but as those for whom Christ died. Paul knew all about grace, and from his own experience, he learned that reconciling with his former enemies was the main reason Jesus had died on the cross. Paul was a living example of that. Paul tells the Corinth church that his new life in Christ comes from God. When Christ died and rose again, he conquered all sin, and through him, we are given the ministry of reconciliation. Paul knows this well. Paul, who once was a Christian killer, had been transformed to a new life in Christ. He realized that the Corinth church needed to hear this message of the gospel. The gospel of grace. Because of the death of our sinless Savior, people need to think, perceive, assess, and judge things differently. Paul's appeal to the Corinthians is to accept the gift of grace given to them through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Because of this gift, people are called to be reconciled to God and to others through the power of the Holy Spirit. People of Lakeview, have you accepted the free gift of grace? When the Holy Spirit comes and enters our life, we have become a new person. That old life is gone. I want to tell you a story about a friend of ours. His name was Robbie Robinson. Robbie was a convicted felon in Iowa. And somewhere in prison or just leaving prison, Robbie turned in his old life and took a new life in Christ. But as a black man, Robbie struggled with white police officers. Until God put Aaron in his life. Aaron was a white Christian police officer, and he had a problem with black felons. They met at church, and they were in the same course together. And through that reconciliation, because of their new life in Jesus, God gave them a vision together for ministry that would impact their community. God's vision led them to the formation of Discover Hope and a partnership dedicated to helping a community that struggled to find its own recovery for many years. Now Discover Hope 517. By the way, 517 is referring to the verse that we just read. The old is gone, and now you are a new creation. Now Discover 517 ministry has grown from just a one-night support group in the community. It is now open to 47 hours a week. They've also acquired a community center building in 2018, and God is on the move as they continue to grow. They offer free lunch every day with a variety of other services for those in the community. And they have now attached a living area that houses up to 10 men called the Restoration House. That, people of God, is an example of new life in Christ and reconciliation through the power of Jesus. So before we all go happily ever after into heaven with God, we need to try to have some genuine reconciliation between our earthly enemies. Those of us with conflict, we need to forgive and forget so that there can be shalom. But this reconciliation cannot happen on our own. When we are in Christ, filled with His Spirit, then shalom can happen. See, God gives us this amazing gift. It's called grace. All we have to do is open our hearts and accept it. Of course, this doesn't mean that we can just live our life as we please. When we've accepted Christ into our life, it calls us to holy living. As God's beloved children, we need to respond in faith to what God has done in our lives. God's transforming work through His Spirit can help us to respond to others in reconciliation. To love those whom we don't like to consider lovable. To show unconditional love of God. Scott Jose talks about it this way. We are bearers of God's saving grace with the Holy Spirit inside of us. Of course, we don't treat each other like pieces of meat. Of course, we don't ever think that broken relationships are no big deal. No, we are caught up in the grip of God's cosmic reconciliation in Christ. Christ died so that fractured relationships, dysfunctional families, lost friendships, ruptured social circles could be restored. People of Lakeview, in Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we, each one of us, can become a people of reconciliation. We can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, set aside our differences and learn to work together to build the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to ask